again, it is so good to see you this morning. We are back this morning in our Get Fit series. I encourage you, is this week and next week are the last two in this eight-part series. And if you want to, want to listen to the ones, they are all up on the website, the rockvaldosta.org. Click on download sermons and you will notice Get Fit, Building Endurance. Get Fit, this morning is messages, and each of one of them start with Get Fit, and we'll have this this picture beside it so you can go through and listen to the entire series. What is this series? We've been talking about Get Fit from 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. You should be able to say it by heart by now because we go there every Sunday morning. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so we've been taking that idea of training ourselves to be godly, and we have been making an analogy to physical training, physically getting fit. And I've just been encouraged by your response to this series and so much of what we've talked about. This morning, I want to talk about stretching. As what's this morning's message. And I'll connect it here in a few minutes, but just stay with me just for a moment. How many of you, I am about to probably really, really date myself and how old I really am. How many of you remember in maybe kindergarten or preschool or even first, maybe even second grade, the teacher having you at the beginning of the day or maybe at the beginning of the class, having you get down and she said you were a flower, remember? You were a seed, and then you'd stretch. You remember you'd stretch. Anybody, come on, somebody help my feelings here. Anybody here? Yes, thank you. Wow, there for a moment. But what was she doing when she did that? You know, you're a flower, and the sun comes out, and you stretch up. What was she was having you stretch. Because of the benefits of that. There are incredible benefits to stretching. Stretching, when it relates to exercise, is interesting because many times we see it pre or post exercise rather than a part of being fit, rather than a part of the routine. I got news to tell you this morning. Stretching may be some of the most crucial part of the routine of physical exercise. Increases blood circulation. Stretching reduces muscle tension. Stretching increases the blood flow and therefore helps prevent injury. The most serious and long-lasting injury that I ever had was when I stressed an IT band. Back when I was running, I stressed an IT band. It actually cost me a year before I could run the marathon. I was going to run the marathon at 39. I ended up running the marathon at 40 years old. That's how serious, all because of stretching, or rather, in my case, the lack of stretching. And this morning, I want you to understand that there are some health benefits in the Christian life that requires stretching. Now, just stay with me for a moment, and I'm going to help us see this. In Paul's letter that he wrote to one of the church. It was his most encouraging letter. In his most encouraging letter that he wrote to the Ephesians. I want to read part of that this morning and then draw some things from it. And then we're going to look at three exercises that help us stretch. Because in this scripture, we'll see the reason what stretching does. And then we're going to see some health benefits of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Take your Bibles and turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 4. On the screen is coming up verse 12. I want to read verse 11 so it gives you a little better context. And I just want you to try to listen to the themes throughout this message, throughout this passage here. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. To equip his people for works of service. That word equip there means to be brought to completion. To be brought to completion for works of service, so that this body of Christ may be built up. Would you pay attention to that word, built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature is the idea of complete, total, wholeness, mature. attaining to the whole measure. There again, that word is complete, total, wholeness, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the nature, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, see there again, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What I want to point out to you this morning is I know oftentimes I'll go and say, here's a key phrase, there's a key phrase. That is not so much the case this morning as I want you to look at the themes that are repeated over and over again. One theme that is repeated over and over again is the theme of Christ. Christ is referred to in this short passage. Christ is referred to at least eight times in just this short passage. And the most significant of those is where he says Christ is the head of the church. Another theme that you see repeated in this is this idea of body, mature body, whole body, the fullness of the body of Christ, that we are a body where each part comes together and does its work. And so there's this theme of Christ, there's this theme of the body of Christ. Then there are these other themes, this theme of building up, this theme of maturing, this theme of growing, this theme of unity, this theme of wholeness, this theme of completeness in Christ. And so what is it that Paul is trying to get here? What is it he's trying to get through? What is it he's trying to tell the people? What Paul is doing, Paul is encouraging and instructing the people of God toward wholeness, completeness, maturity that comes, watch this, from functioning in love as a body with Christ as the head, and in which every part fulfills its part. Now, I want you to understand what begins to, the Christian life, watch this, always stretches from the individual to the corporate, from the part to the whole. Christian life always does that. Christian life starts here with the part and it stretches toward the whole. It starts with the private and it stretches toward the public. It starts with the part and it stretches toward the whole. In other words, listen to me this morning. Your connection to and involvement in the body stretches you and gets you fit in a unique way that nothing else will. I want to get that through to you this morning. In other words, there is a part of Christian life, and I want you to listen to me because this is contrary to our culture. Our culture stretches from the corporate to the individual. Watch this. Our culture stretches from the corporate to the individual. In other words, our culture teaches us that the good in America is what I can get out of it. Come on now. Yes, doesn't it? The good in the economy is what I can get out of it. The good in the political system is what I can get out of it. The good in my job is what I can get out of it. That it stretches from the corporate to the individual and teaches that the individual is foremost. Listen to me. There is an aspect of the Christian life that flows the exact opposite way. It flows from the corporate. I'm sorry. It flows from the individual to the corporate. That you as an individual are part of a corporate body. You are stretching toward that corporate body. And that stretching is healthy. Don't you listen to me this morning. Being part of a community of believers is healthy for you because it stretches you in ways that none of the other disciplines can stretch you. It releases muscle tension, if you will. It releases spiritual tension in a way that no other exercise, no other spiritual exercise does. There is something about being connected to a body that stretches us, and that stretching is good for you. In fact, sometimes the conflict that we see in church, listen to me now, hold on. Sometimes the conflict that we see in church is nothing more than God trying to stretch you in an area that you need to be stretched. Come on now, I told you this was going to be the most encouraging of all of the sermons, of all of the series, and it's going to be, but you got to track with me here just a minute. Sometimes the stress or the strain, sometimes the rub between you and somebody else. Come on now, don't look at me like a deer in the headlights. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the rub between you and somebody else in the church is nothing more than the Holy Spirit trying to stretch you and grow you and release some of that spiritual tension in you in a way. But now watch this. But if you avoid the stretch, injury's coming. Come on now. If you avoid the stretch, injury is coming. Listen to me this morning. You and I, listen, if you are physically, if you're one who works out physically, works out a lot, you know the value of the stretch. It is absolutely crucial to the whole workout. But I can see that not all of us are familiar with that. So let me just say to you this morning that stretching is absolutely crucial to reduce injury in your physical body, and the same way is true in the spiritual body. God, there is something about being connected, something about the corporate body that stretches, and it always flows, watch this, from the body to the whole. And Christian life always stretches that way. It grows from the part to the whole, and then, watch this, and then maturing takes place. And then growth takes place. And then wholeness takes place. And then completeness takes place. And then love happens, just as it's described here in this verse. Listen, your connection to and involvement with the body stretches you in a unique way that nothing else can. It makes you healthier, stronger, more flexible, and more resistant to injury. Right? There is something valuable about the stretch that happens when you are connected to another body. Listen, church stretches. Doesn't church stretch you? Church stretches you. It causes you to have to understand another brother. It causes you to need their gifts in your life and to be able to receive your gifts in their life. There is something about being connected to a body of Christ that will benefit you in no other way whatsoever. It happens because that is the way of Christ to the way of the life of Christ is to stretch us from the part to the whole, from the individual to the corporate, so that the part doesn't think it can be the big eye by itself. There's something healthy about that. There's something healthy about knowing that my life in Christ is stretched when I am connected to the Rock Church, when I'm connected to another body of believers. And I want to say to you this morning, if you are not connected to a body of believers, if you are here this morning and are not connected to a body of believers, I'm telling you, you are missing some of the fundamental spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. You'll never be as healthy as you could be until you connect to a body. You'll never be as mature as you could be until you connect to a body. You'll never be as whole as you could be until you connect to a body. You've got to connect to a body. Avoiding the stretch is hazardous to your spiritual health. There you go. Avoiding the stretch that happens when I'm in a relationship with other believers causes me, as a Christian, it causes me to be injured in ways when I avoid that. And I just encourage you this morning, there is something that happens when we're connected to another, to a body of believers. Now you say, Pastor, what then helps us to connect in that way? What helps us move from the individual to the whole, from the part to the body, from the private to the corporate? What are those exercises? And the first of them, is actually makes way for the other two to be fully exercised in our life. And I want to talk with you about it this morning, just for a moment, because it's this is the most encouraging of all the exercises. Listen to me. I want to say it again before I move on. It is for your good that you are here this morning, connected to a body. You have not just fulfilled an obligation. You are exercising your body, stretching yourself in a way that it would not be stretched if you this morning were worshiping alone. So, what are three exercises? I want to give you three exercises this morning. As I transition to these three, I want to tell you this. I'm leaving a lot out this morning. There's so much. You've got to come Wednesday night. There's a lot here that I'll say here Wednesday night. The first stretching exercise, though, is, if you're taking notes, write down the word fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship, watch this, is engaging in the common activities of worship, study, prayer, celebration, service. In other words, it is fellowship is engaging in all of the disciplines that we have talked about so far. It is engaging in those activities in a corporate way, so that my prayer life is not just my prayer life, but when I come here on Tuesdays and pray with other believers, when I come into fellowship with them and pray with other believers, what happens? My prayer life is then stretched to another level. My study life, when I study the Word of God privately, there's great gain and great benefit in that. But when I come and I sit in a class or a small group and I listen to how others have studied the same passage, what does it do? It stretches me and makes me stronger in that area. Fellowship is engaging in those common activities in a corporate way. But now listen to me this morning. But fellowship is more than organized spiritual activities. Let me say that again. Fellowship is more than organized spiritual activities. Fellowship is actually doing life together. The word for fellowship in the Bible is the word koinonia. Say it with me, koinonia. Now you know some Greek. Koinonia is an interesting word. It is the word that we interpret as fellowship. It's the word we use for fellowship, koinonia. But it is so much more than we realize. This word is used primarily in the Bible. It is used in two ways. One is to identify, watch this, the bride of Christ. It is used of a marriage. It is used of a bride and a husband and wife. They are in fellowship with each other. And the other way that is primarily used is among the body of Christ. Think about the intimacy of that word. Fellowship is not just spiritual activity that we do together. Fellowship is doing life together in a way that is intimate and personal and close. And listen to me, that stretches you in a way that you could not otherwise be stretched. There is something about doing life together. Fellowship is doing life together, not just doing worship together. In fact, we use the word fellowship wrong. It's not that there's anything inherently bad about it, but we use the word fellowship wrong. We say that last week, let me give you an example. We say that last week at our fall picnic, last week, we had a fellowship. There's a sense in when that's accurate, but that is so surface. What happened last week is not that we had a fellowship, but that we fellowshipped. You know what happened last week? Last week, when people were putting chicken on their plate and baked beans on their plate, and what else did we have? Potato salad? We didn't have potato. We had potato salad on our plate. Mac and cheese, man, that was some good mac and cheese. You could see the fat and the saturated fat in it when you dipped it, man. But what was happening across the table, and when you got outside around the pit, we didn't have a fellowship. We were in fellowship with one another. We were doing life together. There is something that is encouraging and strengthening and stretching about you and I doing life together. It makes me more mature. It strengthens me as a person. It makes me more like Christ. Listen to me. The life of Christ requires a regular and profound connection with others. Let me say that again. The life of Christ requires a regular and profound connection with others. You know what? You know who I feel? I feel sorry for the individual that just goes to church, but is not a part of the church. They just attend there, but they never fellowship there. They are missing so much. There is joy. There is life. There is strength that happens when you and I are in fellowship with each other. Fellowship. And that takes intentional effort. It especially takes intentional effort for somebody, say, like my personality that is melancholy. My personality tends to be alone. It wants to isolate and be alone. But listen to me, it took an intentional effort for you this morning to get up out of your bed, to get out on a chilly morning and to make your way here. Listen, what a shame it would be for you to put that effort through just to attend a worship service. You know why? I got out of bed this morning, not because I was going to attend church or go to a service, but this morning when we worshiped together, I was going to be in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm made stronger because of that fellowship. Yes, you can give the Lord praise. I'm going to get over here and preach to the youth because they'll encourage me. Let me see if I can get a little straight, and I'll go on to the second exercise this morning. T.L. Lowry, before he passed away, a couple of years ago, I think it was that he passed away, he was said to have visited a lady in his church. It was a cold winter Monday morning, and this lady had yet again missed church and had been out for a long time. And he is said to have visited her and went in, and let's just call her Mrs. Smith. I don't know the name. And he went in and he says, Sister Smith, he says, I'm just worried about you, that you consistently miss church, that you're consistently not there. And it worries me. And she began to talk to him, and quite frankly, she said, I just don't see the need. I just don't see the need. And he was talking to her, and she was continuing to be just to put up one obstacle after another, one obstacle after another. And being the wise man that he was, he was sitting over close to the fireplace, and he took the poker. He didn't make a big deal out of it, but as he just continued to talk, he took the poker and he reached in and he got a big old white hot coal and he raked it out on the brick hearth and just continued to talk and just continued to try to talk to her, encourage her and strengthen her and so forth. And she continued to put up the barriers. And in a little while, he reached down with his hand and he picked up that coal. He says, Miss Smith, in the same way that this coal needed that fire to stay hot, you need the church in order to stay hot spiritually. There it is. There it is. He said, not only that, the fire needs this coal. The coal needs the fire, and the fire needs this coal. You understand this morning that I need you, and you need me. That the church needs Joanne, and Joanne needs the church. That JR needs the church, and the church needs JR. Why? Because together there is a fire that burns that cannot be sustained individually. And you know what that is? That is a stretching. Can I encourage you this morning? Connect to a body of Christ. Connect that way. What does fellowship? What fellowship does is this. It stretches us so that the life of Christ and the flow of the Spirit is greater in us in a way that it will not be individually. Amen? Amen. Second exercise. These next two, the first exercise makes the next two, maximizes the next two. The first exercise, that fellowship that I'm talking about, and I'll talk more about on Wednesday night, maximizes these next two. And so the second stretching exercise, you might think for a moment, I'm not sure that I see where you're going with that, but just stay with me. The second stretching exercise is worship. Fellowship is the first, worship is the second. What is worship? Worship, We have all kind of definitions of worship, but here's worship. Worship is to experience life with a big L. capital L-I-F-E, is to experience life, not life as in living, but life as the one who is life. It is to experience the reality with a big R, the reality of Jesus Christ. Worship is to know and to feel and to hear and to experience the resurrected life of Christ in me and collectively in us. That's what worship is. Worship, in its purest sense, worship is our response to the love of the Father. That's what worship is. Worship is my response and our response to the love of the Father. It is natural when you experience the love of God. It is natural. The natural response is to worship Him. Worship, what is worship? Worship causes us to see God for who He is. Worship causes us to consider what He has done. Worship causes us to hope for what He will do. Now listen to me a moment this morning, because you got to get this. Worship is not the forms or the methods. The forms or the methods lead us to worship. Now there's been a lot of churches split over this issue. Because we think worship is the forms. Worship is not the form. Worship is experiencing God through the form. In other words, music is a form of worship, but music is not worship. Music causes me to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Teaching that I'm doing this morning. Teaching is a form of worship, but it's not the worship. Teaching causes us to worship the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. Forms, listen to me. So many times, listen, you will get in trouble if you make the forms worship. In fact, watch this. Do not make the forms worship, or else you will worship the forms. Let me say it again, because our churches are eat up with this. Do not worship the forms, or else you will make the or do not make the forms worship, or else you will worship the forms. It's why people say, I don't like that kind of music, or I don't like the way he preaches, or I don't care for the way that they act or behave when the Spirit touches them. What you've done? You've made the form worship. The form's not worship. The form causes me to worship. What we do, when we started praise and worship this morning, we used that term, but when we started music this morning, that wasn't worship. It caused me to worship. It caused you to worship. Now, I know we use it in that way, but you understand what I'm saying. Playing music or singing a song or giving an offering even cannot in and of itself be worship, but it causes me. Do you know why we take up an offering? Do you know why we take up an offering? We take up an offering because it causes you to worship God. If we take up an offering just to get money, listen to me, we are going about it. If we take up an offering, there are a lot of other ways to get money. We don't take up an offering to get money. We take up an offering because that form causes you to worship God with your tithe and your offering. Are you tracking with me this morning? What worship does is worship causes me it causes me, the forms of worship cause me to worship Him. In other words, listen, worship is not the forms, it is the connection. Worship is the connection to God and other believers that happens. Let me see if I put it this way. Singing and playing and dancing is not worship, but those things, the connection that I feel with God and with the other believers when we sing and play causes me to worship. Let me see if I can get an example. Let me get away from music here and give you another example. And I guarantee you this is true. Let me say this morning. Let me see a hand this morning of how many helped set up tables last Sunday morning for the fall picnic. Okay? All right? Now you tell me if I'm wrong. When you were out there setting up tables together, was there not a connection between you and those other guys that were toting the tables that could not happen any other way? You understand, don't you, that toting tables is not worship. But serving in that way caused you to worship. It happens when you prepare a meal for somebody. It happens when you cut somebody's grass that can't cut it. It happens when you go visit somebody at the hospital. It happens when you give an offering. And yes, it happens when we play music and sing songs. But worship, listen, worship causes the fire of the Holy Spirit in us to connect us to God and to other believers that have the life of the Holy Spirit in them. It is stretching us in this way. Worship flows. Now, here's the other thing about worship. Worship flows from the daily experience to the corporate experience. Remember what I told you? Worship in the kingdom, it flows from the individual to the whole. It's true in worship as well. Worship, true worship, worship that really happens, should not be defined by what we do here. In fact, worship is defined by your daily experience. Most people, and I'm gonna make a strong statement here, but I believe it is true. Most people approach worship backwards, completely backwards. Most people approach what we call worship, coming and saying, "I want to get something today when I go to church." You know what that is? That is the societal way. That is from corporate to individual. True worship, you know what true worship is? True worship is I have been worshiping Christ all week long. He is alive in me so much that when I come to the worship service, I am giving worship together with the other brothers and sisters in Christ, and collectively together, we worship Him. Can I just be bold this morning and just say this? Many times when you do not feel something, experience something, get something out of worship, it is not anybody else's fault but yours. Amen. It's not the praise and worship leader's fault, not the pastor's fault. You came in empty, expecting somebody else to fill you up. You know what you were doing? Be nice now, pastor. You were piggybacking off of somebody else's worship. You wanted somebody, I said this was going to be encouraging. What am I doing? You wanted somebody to give you a piggyback ride into the presence of Jesus Christ, when instead you should have come so full, so overwhelmed, so in awe of His presence that you were ready to just give your worship unto the Lord. Yeah, there we go. Man, that kind of worship when we all come together. Now, that is not to say that there aren't times when you come. Everybody has come, and man, despite my best efforts, I get here this morning and I'm empty. That is how much more important it is then for everybody who can be full to be full, so that collectively we can pour into each other. That's true worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Worship. Worship. Man, that's a deep theological statement there. Don't get a piggyback ride into the presence of Christ. You know what worship, listen, worship as an exercise, watch this. Here it is, and I'm going to do the last one, we'll finish. Worship as an exercise stretches us by causing us to turn our attention from ourselves to Him and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There it is. That's how it stretches us. You know what? A person isn't in regular fellowship and worship with others is a person oftentimes that are consumed with themselves. Worship causes me, it stretches me by making me turn my attention away from me, away from the mirror, and toward the heavens and toward my other brothers and sisters in Christ. Worship causes us to worship the one who is worthy of all worship. So the first exercise that stretches us is fellowship. The second exercise that stretches us is worship. And I'll teach more about that Wednesday night. The third exercise, and you just got to listen to me just for a moment, is what I call celebration. Celebration. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm tracking, but watch this. Celebration is the intentional recognition and embracing of the joy of the life of Christ. That's what celebration is. Celebration is the intentional recognition and embracing of the joy of the life of Christ. Celebration, in fact, celebration is at the very heart of who Christ was. Think about it for a moment. Christ came in celebration. It says, for I give unto you this day good news, which shall be great tidings. What? Right? He came in celebration. Jesus started his ministry in celebration. You know how? He announced the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was a celebration. Jesus left this earth in celebration by saying this, my joy I give unto you, not as the world gives, but my joy I give unto you so that your joy may be full. Go look in Revelation and see Christ standing at the right hand of the Father and see the celebration that is going on. What is all of that? All of that is the intentional recognition and embracing of the joy of the life of Christ. John Maxwell, I remember years ago him saying it this way. He said it this way. Christians don't party enough. Listen, you have the life of Christ inside of you. Your life should be a celebration that Jesus lives inside of you. And that happens in the daily celebrating of life. And it happens at the special occasion, the special event. Celebration is an exercise that causes me what? To get up out of the stupor, to get up out of the oppression, to get up out of the depression. It causes us to celebrate. Celebration, you know what it does? Celebration recognizes joy. Celebration gives life. Celebration makes us strong. Celebration connects us one to another. And you know, you might say, well, Pastor, why is celebration a discipline? Here it is. Because the only true celebration is the celebration that's done from a life of obedience. In other words, you can't celebrate the life of Christ if you aren't living in obedience to the life of Christ. Come on now, don't get quiet on me now. That's what makes it a celebration. It's because I'm walking in obedience to Christ. Listen, joy comes through obedience to Christ and flows from obedience to Christ. Let me say it again. Joy comes through obedience to Christ and flows from obedience to Christ. Without obedience, joy and celebration is hollow, right? Just step on another toe or two here. Listen to me. If you want the joy of the Lord, obey. There it is. Obey. Obey. Listen to me. When you practice any of the disciplines that we've been talking about, when you practice any of those disciplines, you are obeying unto joy. When I pray, I obey, and that brings joy. When I give, I obey, and that brings joy. When I serve, I obey, and that brings joy. When I worship, true worship, I obey, and that brings joy. When I fellowship with my brothers and sisters, I obey, and that brings joy. You see, from obedience, then there is joy. Listen to me this morning. There should not be this idea of waiting to get a heavenly infusion of joy at church. Pastor, can you just hook me up to an IV of joy? Now I have to admit to you, I've known some people that I wish I had an IV bag of joy that I could hook them up to. But that's not the way joy works. Joy works through daily obedience to Christ. Therefore, I celebrate the life of Christ in me. Paul put it this way. Paul put it this way. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What is that? That is a celebration of life every single day. Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Always? Always. And again I say rejoice. There is this daily rejoicing. I'm telling you, listen, we need to get understand about this. Celebration helps us not to take ourselves too seriously. Helps us not to, listen, I want to, listen, when you celebrate, it helps you not to take yourself too seriously. Celebration is an antidote to sadness and depression. Celebration gives us some perspective. Celebration will free you from a judgmental spirit. Celebrate with singing, celebrate with dancing, celebrate with shouting, celebrate with laughter. Celebrate with giving gifts. Celebrate with imagination. Celebrate with feasting. Find a way to celebrate the life of Christ in you. I pick on, I feel like I do anyway, I pick on Paul and Brittany in an inordinate amount. But let me tell you something that I have observed. Jerilyn and I both have observed it. Brittany, with her kids, with their kids, celebrates everything. She is great at celebrating with them. I've seen her on some Facebook posts where, I mean, they're out in the day and she's just making remarks of the trees or the birds or the butterflies. It's just, you know, it's just celebration. Of course, being about 99.9% sanguine, celebration comes natural to her. She celebrates. Celebration, you know, you've seen it. Think of the things that we celebrate. We celebrate, think of her mom, the first time there's a dirty diaper. Right? You celebrate that, but we don't celebrate it anymore, just that one time. Celebrate life. Listen, as an exercise, celebration stretches you to live a life that is joyful. Can I encourage you? Listen, this holiday season, make it a celebration, not just an event. Plan a celebration of some kind. It stretches you to get you outside of yourself. Many of us, that's part of celebrating. As an exercise, celebration calls us to stretch our lives to be joyful. And Pastor, What does all this mean this morning? Here's what it means in one sentence. Here's the main idea of the whole thing in one sentence. Stretch yourselves by intentionally fellowshipping, worshiping, and celebrating, and you will be healthier and stronger and more useful to the Lord. Right? Pastor, what difference does this make in my life? I guarantee you this morning that fellowship, worship, and celebration impacts every single relationship in your life. If you are a person of fellowship and worship and celebration, it'll make your marriage better. If you're a person of fellowship and worship and celebration, it'll make you a better parent. If you're a person of worship, I'm sorry, of fellowship and worship and celebration, it'll make you a better husband or a better wife. Listen, if you are a person of fellowship and worship and celebration, it'll make you a better employee. Why? Because life is not about this work. Life is a celebration of the life of Christ that is in me. It'll improve your relationships. So, Pastor, what do we do with this? And we're going to fix it to transition here. In fact, if you are being baptized, if you want to slip out and change, and don't let them distract you. If you want to slip out and change, if you're being baptized this morning, and I think there's one in Children's Church, go around and get them. And by the way, when you do go get them, let them know we're going to move to baptism here in just a moment. But I want to tell you something this morning. Can I encourage you to do something this week? This week, I want to encourage you to do something. Do something this week. Something this week that improves your connection to the community of faith that you are connected to. Now, for most of us this morning, it is the Rock Church. Do something this morning that improves your connection, not to this building, but to these people, us people. Casey Lynn made a stunning statement last week that I'm going to borrow into this morning. And here's what she said. She said, we, just like fellowship, we get it backwards. Remember what she said? She said, we think we came to church when in fact, the church came to the building. Do something this week that increases your fellowship, your connection to this body of believers. When a pastor, give me something specific. Take somebody out to lunch and pay for it. You know what you've done there? You not only have helped strengthen your relationship with them, but you've also participated in the gift of generosity all in one. This week, there may be somebody that needs to be served. You know, when you go and serve them, you increase your connection to the body of Christ. Wow. You thought you were just changing a tire. But instead, when you went to that widow that's part of the church and changed her tire, you connected with her in a way that you would not have connected before, right? Can I encourage you this week, do something that increases your connection. Let me give you another thing you can do this week. Worship in the workplace. Worship in the workplace. Now by that I do not necessarily mean putting on praise and worship. I mean, if you're on assembly line and you're, I'm just worshiping today. Pastor told me to do it. When they write you up, don't come to pastor. Hey, no, remember what worship is. Worship is connecting with God and others. There's some way you can worship in your workplace that connects you to God and others, maybe by sharing what God has done in your life, maybe by giving an employee who needs a lift, maybe by giving them the link to the messages this morning or in this year. Some way, create worship in your work. We spend too much time working to not interject some worship into it. Amen? And one other thing you can do this week, plan a celebration. Celebrate something. It doesn't have to be something grand. I mean, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate Christmas. Maybe there's something else that you need to celebrate. Maybe you got a raise. Celebrate that raise, right? Maybe a relationship healed. Celebrate that, right? Maybe God's about to start a new ministry and you celebrate that. Plan a celebration this week. Why? Because when you intentionally fellowshipping, worshiping, and celebrating, you will be healthier and stronger and more useful to God. Why? Because you've been stretched. You've been stretched. I want to encourage you this morning. Let God stretch you. Stretch yourself. And He will not only make you healthier, He will use you in ways that He could not have otherwise. Amen? Amen. Next week, I'm going to preach on the most neglected of all the spiritual disciplines, but the one that oftentimes brings the most strength. You're going to want to be here next week. Father, I praise and I thank You for the power there is in Christ. Thank You for the life of Christ that we have in us. And this morning, we celebrate His life. This morning, Lord, we worshiped in communion, in song, and we're about to worship water baptism. Thank You, Lord. We worship and celebrate in those things this morning. And thank You, Lord God, that we have connected in a way that we could not have otherwise. We're made healthier and stronger for being here this morning that would not have happened in any other way except we're fellowshipping with each other and with You. And I thank You for that. Lord, let somebody plan a celebration. Let them increase their connection, Lord. This week, Lord, help somebody to worship at work and make these principles real in their life. They are encouraging and they're strengthening. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you this morning to continue to celebrate Him as you go through the day. Please come back next week. We're going to be wrapping this series up. Like I said, it is the most neglected, but in many ways, the discipline that gives you the most strength in life. I encourage you to be here and be a part of that. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord put His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.